Welcome to Excited by the Science, brought to you by the experts at EdOns.
My name is Maria Anastasiou. I'm a physician. I'm specialized in hematology, and I'm particularly interested in blood cancer. My goal is to create videos and podcasts where I will present in a simple way some interesting data from clinical studies in hematology, while I will give also some key points and highlights from these studies. Today, I'm going to talk to you about an interesting article on the treatment of myelodysplastic syndrome published on Lancet Journal. Before presenting some very interesting data, I'm going to make a quick introduction on this disease and the current treatment options for a specific group of patients, those with low-risk myelodysplastic syndrome who are transfusion-dependent. At the end of this video, I will give you some key points regarding the choice of treatment in patients with low-risk myelodysplastic syndrome. Myelodysplastic syndrome, MDS, is a heterogeneous group of clonal myeloid neoplasms characterized by ineffective hematopoiesis, dysplastic features in blood cell lines, cytopenias, and risk to progression to acute myeloid leukemia. International scoring systems based on disease parameters, such as the level of hemoglobin or the platelet count, help physicians predict the risk of progression to acute leukemia and select more appropriate treatment for the patient. Therefore, low-risk myelodysplastic syndrome confers with a relatively low risk of progression to acute leukemia, whereas in high-risk patients, more aggressive treatment approaches are required. Two-thirds of patients with MDS have low-risk disease, with minor cytopenias and mild symptoms. Nevertheless, some of the patients may have an important symptom burden impairing their quality of life. So the main goal of therapy for low-risk MDS is to manage anemia, maintain the quality of life, and delay the disease progression. Management of anemia, which is present in 19% of the patients with low-risk disease, consists in either transfusion of red blood cells, which can lead to iron overload and increased mortality, and erythropoiesis-stimulating agents, ESAs, for patients with low serum erythropoietin levels. However, overall response rates of low-risk MDS to erythropoietin range between 20 and 40%, with duration of response between 1.5 and 2 years, while a proportion of patients become refractory to this treatment. Luspatercept is a first-in-class erythroid maturation agent that was previously approved for the treatment of anemia in a subgroup of patients with MDS, those with transfusion-dependent, erythropoietin-refractory, low-risk MDS with ring sideroblasts. This approval was based on the results of the MEDALIST study. Here, I will present some of the data of the interim analysis from the COMMAND trial, a phase 3 open-label randomized study designed to compare the efficacy and safety of luspatercept with that of ipoietin alpha, EPO, for the treatment of anemia with MDS patients who require red blood cell transfusions. Patients with MDS of a very low or intermediate RPSS risk, who are ESA naive and required red blood cell transfusions, 2 to 3 red blood cells units per 8 weeks, were randomly assigned to receive luspatercept subcutaneously once every 3 weeks, starting at 1 mg per kilo, with possible titration up to 1.75 mg per kilo, versus ipoietin alpha given once a week, starting at 450 units per kilo, with a possible titration up to 1050 units per kilo. The primary endpoint was transfusion independence for at least 12 weeks, along with hemoglobin increase of at least 1.5 gram per deciliter. The interim analysis was done for 300 patients that completed 24 weeks of treatment or discontinued earlier. Nearly twice as many patients treated with luspatercept met the primary endpoint compared to ipoietin alpha. That's 55% in the luspatercept group versus 31% in the EPO group. Most common treatment-related adverse events in the luspatercept group were fatigue, nausea, dyspnea, hypertension, and headache. Here are a few comments regarding the study. First of all, the design was made to include transfusion-dependent patients early in the disease course after 2 to 6 red cells receiving during 8 weeks prior to enrollment. Second, the serum EPO threshold to include patients was less than 500 units per liter in order that patients in the EPO group would have a chance to respond to treatment. Moreover, the endpoint of achieving at least 12 weeks transfusion independence and elevation of hemoglobin 1.5 allowed to have a better estimation of who's going to benefit of this treatment over time. Another remark is regarding the lower response rates in the EPO group, even in those patients with serum EPO of less than 200 who had an overall response rate of only 41%. This could be attributed to the high stringency of response of 12 weeks duration of transfusion dependency, instead of 8 weeks and the concomitant requirement of hemoglobin improvement of 1.5. Finally, regarding patients with ring sideroblasts or SF3B mutation, 2/3 responded to luspatercept, which is double as compared to the 1/3 of responders in the EPO group. Based on results of the COMMANDS study on patients with low-risk MDS, we have three key messages. 1. It's important to follow up patients under EPO for at least 12 weeks since the initial response may be lost after 8 weeks. Luspatercept may be more effective if we take into account the mutation landscape, for example, patients with SF3B1 mutations and the EPO levels, since patients with even a small elevation may not respond to ESAs. Luspatercept is now the new standard of care for low-risk MDS since it seems to be more effective and with a more durable response compared to ESAs. Nevertheless, it brings the question of what to do next in patients that fail to respond to this treatment. And this is all for now. I hope you find these results interesting. Thank you for listening or watching.
Asking the right questions is key to making breakthrough scientific discoveries and advancements. And as the research landscape grows more competitive and complex, finding innovative, interdisciplinary research ideas is more important than ever. The right questions address the most important issues in your field and make it easier for you to conduct high-impact research. At EdOns, we can help you to generate these questions, outline a potential study, and present it in a way that helps you to secure funding and quickly make your idea a reality. Our team of creative experts will conduct a deep analysis of the research landscape in your field, identifying gaps, finding the right questions, and helping you find inspiration for your next project. We can also help develop innovative study concepts, a synopsis, and a full protocol, so you'll have a study that is very likely to be accepted by a high-impact, peer-reviewed publication. Let EdOns help you to make informed decisions, save time, money, and resources, so that you can advance your field and make the world a better place.